The Story of Markandeya, Part 2. Markandeya Rishi defeats Indra and Cupid. Taken from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 8. Suta Goswami then said, O Brahmanas, during the seventh reign of Manu, the current age, Lord Indra came to know of Markandeya's austerities and became fearful of his growing mystic potency. Thus he tried to impede the sage's penance. To ruin the sage's spiritual practice, Lord Indra sent Cupid, beautiful celestial singers, dancing girls, the season of spring, and the sandalwood-scented breeze from the Malaya hills, along with greed and intoxication personified. O most powerful Shaunaka, they went to Markandeya's hermitage on the northern side of the Himalaya mountains, where the Pushpabhadra river passes by the famous peak Chitra. Groves of pious trees decorated the holy ashram of Markandeya Rishi, and many saintly Brahmins lived there, enjoying the abundant, pure, sacred ponds. The ashram resounded with the buzzing of intoxicated bees and the cooing of excited cuckoos, while jubilant peacocks danced about. Indeed, many families of maddened birds crowded that hermitage. The springtime breeze sent by Lord Indra entered there, carrying cooling drops of spray from the nearby waterfalls. Fragrant from the embrace of forest flowers, that breeze entered the hermitage and began evoking the lusty spirit of Cupid. Springtime then appeared in Markandeya's ashram. Indeed, the evening sky, glowing with the light of the rising moon, became the very face of spring, and sprouts and fresh blossoms virtually covered the multitude of trees and creepers. Cupid, the master of many heavenly women, then came there holding his bow and arrows. He was followed by groups of Gandharvas playing musical instruments and singing. These servants of Indra found the sage sitting in meditation, having just offered his prescribed oblations into the sacrificial fire. His eyes closed in trance. Markandeya seemed invincible, like fire personified. The women danced before the sage, and the celestial singers sang to the charming accompaniment of drums, cymbals, and veenas, while the sun of passion, greed personified, spring, and the other servants of Indra all tried to agitate Markandeya's mind. Cupid drew his five-headed arrow and fixed it upon his bow. The Apsara Punjikatashtari made a show of playing with a number of toy balls. Her waist seemed weighed down by her heavy breasts, and the wreath of flowers in her hair became disheveled. As she ran about after the balls, glancing here and there, the belt of her thin garment loosened, and suddenly the wind blew her clothes away. Cupid, thinking he had conquered the sage, then shot his arrow. But all these attempts to seduce Markandeya proved but futile, just like the useless endeavors of an atheist. O learned Shaunaka, while Cupid and his followers tried to harm the sage, they felt themselves being burned alive by his potency. Thus they stop their mischief, just like children who have aroused a sleeping snake. O Brahmana Shonak, the followers of Lord Indra had impudently attacked the saintly Markandeya, yet he did not succumb to any influence of false ego. For such great souls, tolerance like this is not at all surprising. The mighty King Indra was most astonished when he heard of the mystic prowess of the exalted sage Markandeya, and when he saw how Cupid and his associates had become powerless in Markandeya's presence. Desiring to bestow his mercy upon the saintly Markandeya, who had perfectly fixed his mind in self-realization through penance, Vedic study, and observance of regulative principles, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appeared before the sage in his form as Nara and Narayan. One of them was of whitish complexion, the other blackish, and they both had four arms. Their eyes resembled the petals of blooming lotuses, and they wore garments of black deerskin and bark, along with the three-stranded sacred thread. In their hands, which were most purifying, they carried the mendicant's water pot, straight bamboo staff, and lotus seed prayer beads, as well as the all-purifying Vedas in the symbolic form of bundles of darbha grass. Their bearing was tall, and their yellow effulgence the color of radiant lightning. Appearing as austerity personified, they were being worshipped by the foremost demigods. These two sages, Nara and Narayan, were the direct personal forms of the Supreme Lord. When Markandeya Rishi saw them, he immediately stood up and then, with great respect, offered them obeisances by falling flat down on the ground like a stick. The ecstasy of seeing them completely satisfied Markandeya's body, mind, and senses, and caused the hairs on his body to stand on end and his eyes to fill with tears. Overwhelmed, Markandeya found it difficult to look at them, standing with his hands folded in supplication and his head bowed in humility. Markandeya felt such eagerness that he imagined he was embracing the two lords. In a voice choked with ecstasy, he repeatedly said, "I offer you my humble obeisances. I offer you my humble obeisances. I offer you my humble obeisances." Markandeya then gave them sitting places and washed their feet, and then worshipped them with presentations of argya, sandalwood pulp, fragrant oils, incense, and flower garlands. Markandeya Rishi once again bowed down at the lotus feet of those two most worshipful sages who were sitting at ease, ready to bestow all mercy upon him. Then Markandeya addressed them as follows: "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare."